While the ushers are receiving your stewardship and offerings to God through your church, I'm going to read today's gospel lesson once again. At that time, Jesus entered Capernaum, and it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like this? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question thus in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Rise, take up your pallet and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, take up your pallet, and walk," and go home. And he rose and immediately took up the pallet and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." They probably knew that paralytic. You know, he had been a member of the community for years, perhaps. They had seen that guy, perhaps from his birth, not being able to walk. So they knew Bob, and they knew Bob couldn't walk. And then all of a sudden, Bob gets up and walks at the word of Christ. How many of you have ever gone to the hospital? Right? Many of us? Most of us. Why do we go to the hospital? We go to the hospital for healing. Why did the paralytic and his friends come to Christ for healing? Did you know that the church is a spiritual hospital? That's right. All of us, myself at the front of the line, need spiritual healing. Just because I've got these robes on doesn't mean I'm any holier than any of you. In fact, I'm probably worse. It just means I believe what we read here. And I'm trying, as I know all of us are, to do the best that we can. If you don't think I've made mistakes in my life, you are sorely mistaken. If you don't think I have been some of where you are in your life right now, perhaps as a young man, remember, I wasn't always almost 50. I was 18 once. I remember very well what that was like. Believe me, you never forget, for better and worse. You're not the first one to be 18. You're not the first one to be full of vim and vigor. Listen to some of us who have stubbed our toe going ahead of you. We come to the church for spiritual healing. At some point in your life, if you haven't already realized, it's going to occur to you, things are not right in this world. Why did my dad say that to my mother? Why did she say that to him? Why did something happen within my family? Why did something happen at work? Things are just not the way they should be. And I contribute to it. Woe is me. What will I do? Where do we find the answer? Where do we find healing? What is healing? It's reconciliation with God. The more we think about these things, the more we realize the problems all come because we're estranged from God and we're estranged from our neighbors. We do things that are selfish. Again, I'm at the front of that line. If you're here during the weekly Bible studies, we talk about selfishness and how it comes out. With me, and please forgive me if I've ever been around any of you in traffic, that's where my selfishness tends to come out. I hope none of you are those that pull in that left lane and ride very slowly because you're going to make a left turn 20 miles down the road. I perhaps haven't responded very well to that. Forgive me. That's a real pet peeve of mine. That and those who are on the cell phone and too busy to use a signal so that, I might can pull out into traffic before you come and turn where I am. But we need that spiritual healing because we realize we are selfish. We're estranged from God. We're estranged from each other. We're really estranged from ourselves, too. How many times have you asked yourself, Why did I do that? Am I the only one that's ever asked myself that? Why did I just say that to that person? Because now there's a thing. Now we've got a thing. And I have to fix it. And I have to pray for forgiveness and or ask for forgiveness or extend it. Why do we do the things we do? What will become of us? So we come to the church for spiritual healing. What can we learn from this parable? We can learn a couple of things. One, that faith is active. It is active. It is not passive. You cannot just sit there and say, oh, I'm a Christian, and then sail about your life. You've got to do something, just like the paralytic did. What did he do? He asked four of his friends, perhaps family, to pick him up and take him to Christ. It was active. He didn't just sit at home. He was active. We have to be active. Congratulations. You're giving the first hours of your week. Sunday is the first day of the week, right? The first hours of that day. Here you are in church giving them to God. Good job. Well done. We have to be active. Another way to be active is to fast, is to observe the fast during Great and Holy Lent. We have to be active. We have to come to God. And He is right here on our level to meet us and come to us Himself personally. We've got to be active. What else do we have to do? We have to overcome obstacles. Look at the paralytic. For heaven's sakes, the guy couldn't walk. He got somebody to carry him to church. And when they got, or to Christ. When they got there, the crowd was so big he couldn't get in. So what did they do then? Well, they carried him up over the wall, up under the roof, and then down to the roof. They had to disassemble the roof somehow to get him in. Boy, that's active. That takes work. That's overcoming obstacles. What sort of obstacles do we have? Oh, well, the first one is inertia. Isn't it a lot easier to do nothing? I mean, really, isn't it? To just sit on your bum and do nothing. That is so easy. And then if you can rouse yourself through the grace of the Holy Spirit to try to do something, what gets in the way? I'll tell you what gets in my way. Pride. P-R-I-D-E. And what's in the middle of that word? I, me, ego, gets in the way every time. I don't want to admit I was wrong. There, I said it. May Presbyteria forgive me. How many times does it come up? That's like every day. Pride gets in the way. We have to overcome the obstacle of pride. An embarrassment related to pride. We don't want to admit we're wrong because that means we're embarrassed, that we're not perfect somehow. I got a news flash. You ready? I'm glad you're all sitting down. None of us here are perfect, especially me. Okay? So get off that pedestal and don't worry about it. Admit you're wrong when you're wrong. What else do we have to do? We have to help others. We have to show compassion. Think about this fellow's friends. They carried him to church. If somebody asks you for a ride to church, do you give them a lift? What about if somebody pulls out in front of you and goes slowly in the left lane because they're going to make a left turn 20 miles away? Do you give them the benefit of the doubt? Maybe they just returned from the hospital. Maybe they've just visited a loved one and their mind is really 100 miles away. Maybe they just received a diagnosis from the doctor that is really preoccupying them. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Show them a little compassion. But the most important thing we learn from this pericope, this piece of text, is we have to think big. We have to think big. We're talking about God. There is so much about Him in heaven that we can't even begin to imagine. I've been trying to come up with an example of what it is like. And it's almost like a child asks for a matchbox car at Christmas, and the dad gives him a big red Corvette. I mean, but even that doesn't do it justice. We have to think big. The paralytic came to Christ, and he wanted physical healing. And Christ said, your sins are forgiven. And what did the paralytic do? Nothing. He lay there. He didn't get up. He didn't say, thank God, praise God. He didn't know what to do. That wasn't what he expected. He didn't know what to do. He froze. He was already frozen again. He just sat there, lay there. But then when Christ said, pick up your pallet and walk, something he could understand, he did it. But they were one and the same, as Christ said, which is easier to say. It's one or the other. It's the same thing. We have to think big. When we come to God, do we realize what we've done when we've taken Holy Communion? Not exactly. Not holy. I know I don't. I mean, I see it, I taste it, I smell it. But that is God coming inside us. We can't imagine. I think there is so much around us right now, we don't even realize it. The books talk about the angels and the Holy Spirit swirling about, and I think they are here. But it's hard for us in our limitedness to see it. But it's here. It's here. So keep that in mind as you go forward into a rainy day and perhaps a rainy week. We're approaching the third week of Lent. We can do it. Be active. Trust God and be humble. Be like the paralytic, because we're all paralyzed, really, in our ego. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.